And now we can be excited about football. Now we can really get invested into what's going on in training camps, what's going on with your favorite teams, what's going on with injuries, and who's starting to shine in camp, and who's taking the strides forward. Last time I said, I don't put stock into stuff I hear in May, June, and July. Okay? Now we can start, because now it's starting to get to the point where all the teams have reported, everybody's practicing, everybody's, you know, getting their bodies back into football shape. And with that, I welcome you in to the Seagate Blitz podcast on a beautiful Tuesday night here in Ohio. Lots to talk about, lots to get to, so let's just start right off.
Here's what we know.
Like I said before, training camps have started. All 32 teams are now in action. We had our Back Together weekend last weekend with the NFL Network. They coverage of training camps are, second to none, and it's pretty much nonstop from here on until the start of the season. That being said, fantasy drafts are going to be kicking off, and I want to talk a little bit about fantasy drafts on Here's What We Know segment, because you probably, if you're in multiple leagues, have had some drafts already. If you haven't, they're up, they're coming. You should get yourself prepared. Okay, don't be the guy that everybody's waiting on to do certain things. Okay, be ahead of that. It's very frustrating as a fantasy commissioner to have to repeatedly get to owners and leagues and say, hey, I need you to get on your stuff. You know, don't be that guy. We just finished the first of three college drafts just a couple of days ago. The first two actually are C2C leagues. The third one is a brand new college startup. It is a 12-team deep, deep league where you can play possibly five quarterbacks. And it's just starting up this season, and I had to jump on board with that. So fantasy drafts are around the corner. NFL drafts for your fantasy teams are firing up hot and heavy. I have an auction draft this coming weekend on the NFL side. So those are going to be ramping up. It's time to wake up and get your head in the game if you are a fantasy enthusiast. Okay, summer's over. Football's back. I want to talk a little bit about the rumblings from the ACC and the Big Ten. Here's what I know, which is not very much. August 15th is a deadline for some of these teams in the ACC to say they want out. Wherever that date came from, I do not know. But there's a date of August 15th that the ACC has in place on if teams want to get out. There is a big-time rumor, and the rumors, it's not just talk this time. Okay, multiple sources, multiple reports from different outlets, including one that's warchant.com, which is very, very reputable, saying that Clemson and FSU possibly leaving the ACC to go to the Big Ten. None of this has been announced yet, but there are lots of speculation, lots of talk that's going to happen. There's talk that the Big Ten is going to buy out the ACC, Clemson and Florida State's contracts with the ACC. Florida State would have to pony up some money. I'm sure Clemson would have to as well. Big Ten's going to pay the rest of it to get them to come to their conference. That's the rumor I'm hearing. I don't know any more than that at this time. What that would do, though, is that would start the beginning of our two super conferences, because there's also rumors that Oregon and Washington are also leaving for the Big Ten. Announcements could come as early as this week on all four of those schools. I do not know one way or the other, but it does seem like there is some serious fire to this smoke this time, and we'll see how that goes. Florida State begins football practice in 2 days, August 3rd. They take the field, and what looks to be a very competitive season for my beloved Noles, and this will not be a distraction for the football program on if they're moving conferences or not. It's not going to happen this year. Might not happen next year. I don't know. We'll just see. Personally, I am looking forward to them moving to the Big Ten. It's for personal reasons, because I could go watch them play at Purdue. I could go watch them play at Ohio State. I could go watch them play. I mean, if I wanted to drive to Michigan, still closer than Tallahassee. There are, IU, Indiana, not too far away. So I could go watch them play a lot more if they were in the Big Ten Conference where I live. That's kind of where the goods and bads start and stop with me, because it doesn't make sense to me that they moved to the Big Ten, other than the fact that the SEC just doesn't want them and they want out of the ACC that bad, because staying in the SEC would be better for them geographically, weather-wise, things of that nature. But selfishly, moving to the Big Ten, that's fantastic for a person like me who's a Noles fan from up here in Ohio. Haven't seen much positive response from the fan bases of these schools moving to the Big Ten because of the bad weather and the different travels. And I mean, sure, they go to Boston College every other year, but I mean, it's going to hit different going to East Lansing playing Michigan State in November, up there, with the lakes and stuff, and depending on what we get here in the southern part of the state. But I'd like to see the move one way or the other. I've always said I really don't want them to go to the SEC just because I don't like the SEC. But, we'll see what happens. Stay tuned, and I'll definitely keep everyone posted on what schools are leaving and what schools are coming. Okay, the meat of the show this evening, we're going to talk a little bit about the decline in the running back position, not only in the NFL, but in fantasy levels. I got four running backs I want to talk about. Not in depth, just a little bit. I'm going to touch on all four of them, and there's more that may come to my mind. But the four I want to talk about, I'm going to start with Jonathan Taylor, who as early as Sunday or Monday met with Jim Irsay and has requested a trade from the team. Now, that's a surprise to me. He's coming off of 2 years ago, he was the best running back in football and fantasy. Last year, he had a falling off period, a little bit of health issues, finished up decently, but he wants out. Okay, Dalvin Cook has been released from Minnesota, still hasn't found a home. Zeke Elliott, released from the Dallas Cowboys, still hasn't found a home. He did visit the Patriots over the weekend. I'm seeing mixed reviews and mixed reports on how that went. Leonard Fournette is another one who, when he came out, he was the best running back that the world had ever seen. That's sarcasm, by the way. So why are these players falling in drafts? Well, let's look at him a little bit, okay? Dalvin Cook was a cap casualty. Letting him go was a money thing. Their offense has changed gears. They were more of a passing-style offense. What they were paying him didn't make sense for them to keep him in Minnesota. Nobody was going to trade for him at that value, at that contract, because of where we're going in the NFL and in fantasy. Zeke Elliott, different story. Zeke Elliott, his knees are shot. He doesn't look like he did 2 or 3 years ago. He always seems to have something going on, and he just seems like he's lost a couple of steps, and that's the nature of the position. Myself, never really was that big on him anyway. I never really thought he was the superstar that everybody made him out to be. It made me sick to my stomach when Dallas drafted him. Leonard Fournette, another one who has been injured and then fantastic and then injured and then fantastic and then injured and okay. So if we look at those four running backs and we say, well, what do they all have in common? Well, they play the toughest position in football. Okay, it's the one that carries the most load and the most physicality. It takes the most beating. And it wears you down faster than any other position. And that includes offensive linemen. All of these guys have been injured. Now, is that coincidence? Probably comes with playing the position. And you can call me a homer if you want to, but out of all four of these guys, I'm still taking Cook over ahead of all of them. For me, it'd go Cook, Taylor, Fournette, Zeke. That's where I'm at in the pecking order of that. Cook still has juice in his legs. Cook still has a couple of years. Jonathan Taylor still does as well. What his issues are with Indianapolis, I do not know. Zeke and Fournette, I think we've seen, well, I don't think, we've seen their best days. I'm a little aggravated at the way the free agency is working now with some of these players. Dalvin Cook was in the Jets camp over the weekend for a visit, and he was there as they kicked off training camp. And it's almost like they are, the running backs, and Dalvin Cook especially, is wanting the teams to cater to him. And I just can't, I don't want to see that. Okay, that's almost like the tail wagging the dog. Okay, I don't want to see a team catering to a running back just because they want you to come play for him. This he should want to go play for really any team that'll pay him some money. Doesn't work that way, I get it, but I'm kind of disgusted at how these things have gone over the last couple of years. And to me, Dalvin Cook should be on a team right now. He should be signed. He should be practicing with the rest of his team, getting himself ready for week one. And he's still unsigned. Okay, so every day, to me, his draft value drops in fantasy. Every day he doesn't sign with the team, I think his stock falls in the NFL. So why is that? Why is this happening? The long and the short of it is this. We're moving on into what is really now considered a running back by committee league. Okay, 5 years ago we still had some feature backs. And there's still going to be a feature back, and there's still going to be what they call it, you know, air quotes, starting running back. But we're going to run a couple of backs, maybe even three, depending on what team you are, San Francisco. We're still going to run multiple backs out there, which means we don't have to pay these backs high dollar. Once they play out the rookie deal, they're expendable. Christian McCaffrey got a new lease on life by going to San Francisco. Okay, he's also got a couple other guys there that can help ease the load. There's no running back that I can think of in the NFL right now, today, August 1st, that I can say is going to be a bell cow running back. You say, well, maybe Javonte Williams if he was healthy. I don't think so. They're going to get him help. Ramondre Stevenson, no, I don't think so. That running back, that's a terrible example. Breece Hall, if he was healthy, I don't think so. They're thinking about bringing in Dalvin Cook. Look at the big time players in the NFL right now. Who we got? If you just take a second to look at the landscape of what we're looking at, okay? We're looking at quarterbacks and wide receivers. Because we're becoming a passing league. People want to see 300-yard passing games, 3-4 touchdowns from the quarterbacks to the wide receivers, Burrow to Chase, Cousins to Jefferson, Mahomes to whoever it is he decides to throw to, because he can throw to anybody. Justin Herbert to his few wide receivers are getting old. But you see where I'm getting at. Okay, all of these people, all of them, depending on your format in fantasy, are going ahead of running backs. Unless your leagues are 0.25 points per carry or 0.5 per carry, the running backs are devalued, especially if you have 1 point or 1.5 PPR, or if you're in tight end premium leagues, you're going to see Travis Kelce go over a running back, and it's not even, it shouldn't even be a shock anymore. We've moved on from Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Jerome Bettis. We know that. Okay, but it has, sooner than that, 3 to 4 years ago, we were stepping over people in leagues just to get a running back, just to get our hands on a running back because they were so premium. They were so important and vital to fantasy that we were stepping over people to get them. Well, now guess what we got? We got this thing called running back, zero running back strategy. And in back-to-back years, last year and in 2021, I pulled championships in both years drafting RB0 strategy. That's where we're at. You know, and as much as they say, a lot of hype for Nick Chubb this year. He's going to be a lot of focal points of their offense. That's great. I really would like to see that. I do have a couple of shares of Nick Chubb in various leagues across my fantasy landscape, but there's no way that he's just going to be the one guy. Yes, I know Kareem Hunt's gone, but he's going to have to get rest. He's going to have, or he's just going to take a pounding. That would be the one team that I'd say would rely on the running game a little bit more than any other, because we got Deshaun Watson coming back. Now, this will be his first full season since the whole massage issue. Okay, he's got new receivers coming in, but they're still going to try to throw the ball. But if you think about it, the coach of the Browns is a run-first kind of coach. So that's the reason why Dalvin Cook isn't as valuable in Minnesota as he was when Stefanski was there, because Stefanski left, they changed the offense. So I guess if I would have had to pick one running back that I would, if I could rest myself on to say he's going to be the bell cow back, I guess it would be Nick Chubb. But we've moved into a different era. There's a reason why running backs are falling in drafts, falling down, because they're not as important. And teams aren't going to sign these guys. Why? Well, because if they sign them to a big money deal, okay, and they still run two or three running backs out there, then they're losing out on money they could have put towards other areas of their program. I don't like seeing this. I don't like seeing the devalue of the running back position and the decline of it in the actual NFL. But the writing's on the wall, people. The writing's on the wall, and it shows us, you know, what we're doing. That's why we've got Mahomes throwing for all those yards and all those touchdowns. And as much as Isaiah Pacheco really did help last year, you know, in a limited capacity, that's what he's going to be again this year. Isaiah Pacheco is going to get drafted in every one of your fantasy drafts, but not high. Because you look at the offense and you think, yeah, well, they'll use him, but not as much. I'd rather have Kansas City's third wide receiver as I would have Pacheco for my third running back. And that's where I'm at right now with it. College is a whole different story, though, folks. Okay, college fantasy is a whole different, it's backwards. Okay, because the running backs do get their carries in college. That's how they get to the pros, really. That's how they get them picks. And, you know, as much as I love Bijan Robinson, he's going to be in a committee as well until he proves me otherwise. They're going to run two running backs because, for one, he's a rookie. Okay, he'll hit the rookie wall because it's a real thing. And college is different, though. If we're talking college fantasy, then you want to have some decent running backs because they do try to run the ball. Most college teams, what? Establish the run. Protect your quarterbacks. Establish the run, kill the clock, time of possession, win the ball game. It's a little bit different. I'm not saying wide receivers aren't valuable in college because they really are. Quarterbacks, running backs come off the board because there's so many college wide receivers. I mean, a starting wide receiver for Georgia Southern could be your starting wide receiver in a 3 or 4 deep wide receiver league on your starting roster. He's going to start. Different because we have more players. We have more opportunity because there's so many that the vast landscape of college football. But if we're just talking NFL, things change. And we're moving on from the big name running back. We've moved on from the legends. Okay, we've moved on from the Emmitt Smiths and the Tony Dorsetts and the Herschel Walkers and Jerome Bettises and Terrell Davises and all those guys. It's never coming back. At least I don't know that. I'm not seeing how it's going to. Everything's evolving. So as we evolve, other things get pushed to the back burner. Zeke's rushing record. Pretty confident that I can say it's never going to get broke. Sit here tonight, 2023, pretty confident it's never going to get broke. Okay, moving on. Hall of Fame game. It's happening, people. Thursday night, 8 o'clock. I believe it's on NBC. It's the Jets and the Browns. What do we expect to see? Not much of anything, just like any other Hall of Fame game. But it is football, and yes, I'm going to watch it. Or at least I'm going to watch some of it. You know, Aaron Rodgers won't play. Okay, now if I'm the Browns and I'm the head coach of the Browns, I'm playing Watson, I'm playing some guys, maybe not Nick Chubb, but I'm playing some guys, just even if it's just one, not even a series, a 3 down, and they get a 1st down and I swap them out. I'm playing some of them just so they can get, you know, a little bit more acclimated together because they need it. You know, maybe play them 3 plays. You get a 1st down, you're out. You 3 and out, you're done. But some of them would go if I was the coach. You risk injury. Joe Burrow's messing with a calf strain. That's part of the game. Joe Burrow's going to be fine. He'll be ready for week 1. We won't see him in the preseason either. But going back to the Jets and the Browns, it's football. It's real. They're going to be hitting each other. And we're going to get a chance to see some rookies, okay? We're going to see some rookies that we followed all through their college. If we had them on our college to Canton teams or our college leagues and they've transferred to the NFL, we're going to get to see some of these guys now, okay? I'm looking forward to it. The NFL season is here. It doesn't matter who wins and loses in the preseason. No one cares. There's no sense in talking about predictions. But it's the start of something. And it's always a big deal because we also have Hall of Famers going into the Hall this year. Let's not forget about that. You know, there's a beloved Cowboy going into the Hall of Fame this year. So I always enjoy seeing my Cowboys go into the Hall of Fame. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, fairly certain NBC. Check it out. It's going to be fun. Football's back. And then after that, the preseason takes off. And before you know it, we'll be sitting on week 1. That'll do it. Short and sweet, to the point. I'm Chris Carlswall. You can find me on Twitter. Oh, X. I guess you can find me on X. Not sure what that's all about. You can find me on X at CGAP Blitz. You can find the podcast everywhere. You find podcasts. Check it out. Hit me up with questions, whatever you got. And we'll see you next time on the Blitz.